keeping you up to date with all the latest SEO and web development news. Little flavor added in.
Well, let's have a little bit.
Detroit style. The Trademark Productions weekly podcast radio show coming live from Detroit.
Well, actually, Royal Oak. No one really lives in Detroit anymore.
Well, it's another week. We're deep into January of 2013. Lots of cool stuff, as always, going on in search. And let's start off with talking about Panda Update.
Yes.
Which, this is number 24, and yep. It rolled out essentially on the 19th, 20th?
A few days ago. I think it was 22nd.
22nd, sorry. Yes. 22nd of January. And it doesn't seem like there's a ton of big updates, but they're English-based queries. That's happening with. But another thing that I've noticed is, and there's a discussion over at SEO Roundtable, more of hitting some of the exact match domains,
mm-hmm.
and it seems to be favorable. In testing that's happened since Panda 23, of more towards big brand. So it seems like Google's favoring more of the big ad spenders and big brand.
And makes sense for them.
Exact match domain and partial match domain seems to be taking a little bit of a hit, which that was theorized back, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And I'm particularly watching that very, very closely with phishing charters.
Yes.
Because don't want to lose on that. But I still think that if you establish a very, very reputable, good brand, that exact match domain will still help you along as well.
I agree. I mean,
and,
it's...
You know, exact match domain, if it's Best Buy, I mean, obviously Best Buy in English language, that's not a term or words that are, that identify something. It's identifiable with a brand name.
Exactly. It's not a keyword you would use to find a specific product or service.
Right. But there was some testing that was done. Again, a gentleman over at SEO Moz did some testing, and it was more about Kohl's and misspelling Kohl's. And then it was references to it actually saying, doing an auto correction for it,
mm-hmm.
instead of saying, did you mean Kohl's? So auto correction for listings for Kohl's. So it was actually pulling in for misspellings for... exact match.
Well, I've noticed a lot. Google is just correcting your searches for you more and more regularly. Like I'm notorious for spelling things wrong on the fly while I'm searching stuff, and Google gives me the right results regardless of how jumbled my my query actually is.
Yeah, a lot of times I wish I could turn off my internet marketing brain and act like my father. And, do searches to make determinations of, like, why is this showing up or is mm-hmm. this a good search result for the terms that I've searched and whatnot. But that's it on the hopper there. We're going to talk about some Facebook graph.
Yeah, the graph search, as we all know, is Facebook's new internal search function. And it's heralded by Facebook as a great way to find new information, basically, like, if you want to know what the best restaurant in Royal Oak is, you would ask Facebook as opposed to Google because you'd be getting recommendations from people you know.
Now, that search that's going to be going through, how do you ask that to Facebook?
You just search into Facebook, what restaurants in Royal Oak do my friends go to? Or what have they checked into? Or what have they liked? Like, you can combine a lot of things. And one of the things that I really, I really find hilarious is that you can combine random queries into useful or not useful data, but into interesting data. Like there's a guy who has actual Facebook graph searches.tumblr.com, and it's phenomenal. For instance, there's a mothers of Jews who like bacon. So he searches that and it gives you Jewish mothers who have liked the bacon page. And exactly. It's very strange. Married people who like prostitutes. This is a very, like, the amount of information that you're going to be able to pull if you know how to search creatively.
Come on, man. That's got to be skillable data.
I mean,
That's got to be skillable data.
It could be, but these are all people that
liked actual brothel pages?
Yeah, or they've liked the term prostitutes on Facebook. It's just, I think it's going to be a really, if you're savvy enough, a really interesting way to get weird data about your friends and about your friends' friends.
And all right, so then what do we do with that data once we have it?
I don't think there's really anything you can do unless you're a marketer specifically aiming at, a certain target audience.
How do I aim at those targets?
You would have to buy an ad through Facebook.
Ah, then I can skew that data and show up on those.
Because I assume Facebook's going to be selling ads as search result ads, just like Google does.
Well, yeah,
they'd have to. But it's also Facebook graph search, I feel, is kind of useless, to be honest. And all the examples I've seen, I don't have access to it yet, so I can't actually use it. But all the examples I've seen, it doesn't really, unless your Facebook friends are incredibly active in whatever you're looking for, you're really not going to get that much information. I honestly think it's just a way for Facebook to glean more data from its users and sell more advertisements, because they're going to see what users are searching for and then target ads toward those users. So I don't know if it's going to be useful for users as much as it will be for marketers, just because of the way it's constructed. I mean, if you want to know what, like I said earlier, what restaurants your friends are going to in Royal Oak, or what restaurants have my friends checked in Grand Rapids, you can find that information out. But I mean, it shows is that your friends have been there. It doesn't really give you any good information about the page or about the business or anything like that. So I think it's just going to be, it's all about what people are searching for. It's similar to how Google targets ads towards its users as well, I think.
So it makes it easier to get information from Facebook users specifically. So
yes,
like you're talking about taste, interests, photographs.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it could be utilized to get feedback on products and services if you target them through Facebook system.
Could be.
But I think you're kind of limited to the fact that you can only search for people, photos, places, and shared interests. We can't search for general information.
No.
That's contained within Facebook postings.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the shared information is a little bit shallow and is of actual limited value.
Yes.
Because I may not go ahead and like a brothel or a prostitution page.
Yes.
But I still may be interested in prostitution. Not that I would be.
Yes. Well, and I think there are a few ways it can be very useful for users, particularly in the photos I've liked search. Like, you can search what photos have I liked, and it'll give you every photo you've liked in the history of your Facebook account, which I think is really cool. But other than that, I don't find a whole lot of usefulness out of it. But Mark Zuckerberg calls it the third pillar of Facebook behind newsfeed and timeline. So they're putting a third of their work into it.
Well, I want to talk about another thing too that's pretty cool. Is I think a lot of times people have used Google Maps or Google Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And they know it's pretty powerful and pretty cool. Panorama is still, if you you can sign up an account through your Google account and submit photos and
yep,
tag them geographically, and those are great backlinks as well. That's a great signal that people should still take advantage of. And now we're in the age of the quick camera pictures and posting, so that's still something we should end up doing. But it's pretty interesting that just recently Google Earth overlaid a map over North Korea.
Oh.
And basically human rights activists have overlaid a number of pins to identify a network of prison camps in North Korea.
That's interesting.
In North Korea. And they're stating that it may hold as many as 200,000 people in those concentration camps or those work camps.
Wow.
So it's really, really interesting is, you know, they're North Korea's leader, Pino Gagnon, I can't even
remember. Oh, the Kim Jong-un.
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's still stating that they do not exist and that it's foreign propaganda. But you can go there and search that online. Telegraph, Co. UK are the ones that kind of broke the story. And it's...
Telegraph's great.
Yeah, pretty amazing. The North Korean Economy Watch has basically announced recently, too, that they've identified some new camps along existing detention facilities as well. But the Google Earth images are pretty amazing.
We'll have to get some of those up on the site.
Yeah, it's pretty scary, man. Pretty scary the way you can zoom in and look at a lot of these. And I guess it goes without saying that to think that there's still concentration camps that are going to work camps.
Yeah.
And these are being overseen by a dictator is pretty crazy, man. Pretty crazy. They get down to the point of actually showing you the actual camp, but then like shacks for guards and guards posts.
Wow.
Where there's compounds.
Well, I mean, it's a great example of how Google services can be used in a global scale. You know, it's very, because I think that's what Google is, you know, has always tried to be, is something that people can use for everything. And this is a really, really great example of how a human rights organization can help push their agenda via a Google tool, so it makes Google look good indirectly. And I think that's very smart.
Yeah. And, you know, Marissa Mayer, it seems like now with Yahoo, they're really eyeing Facebook as well.
Mm-hmm.
To try to create, as she stated earlier this week, interest graphs that show common likes among people packaged together.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty cool idea. And we knew that was going to happen as mm-hmm. well. I still think that to some extent Mayer was left Google and placed over in Yahoo to help bring those two together. I can see some type of a buyout in the near future.
Between Yahoo and Google?
Yeah, I see something like that happens.
Well, I know she's pretty much altered the culture at Yahoo to be much more Google-like. You know, the free lunches, the new cell phones, and all of that stuff. So that might make a transition from Yahoo to Google much easier.
Yeah, so these interest graphs will basically package up people's likes and their interests and their similarities, similar to the Facebook graph, but I guess then put it together and then send it to a person's mobile device. So they get an idea of what's going on. And that's definitely motivated probably by advertising
mm-hmm.
so that you can push. If somebody liked a hamburger and you're somewhere localized, obviously they can push out a coupon or something for Sonic or Jack in the Box
saying.
Or something like that to you. So, you know,
that's,
she's really been rocking shit out since she's taken over that in July.
Well, and that kind of reminds me of like, you know, Foursquare, how they would have their coupons if you check in here or whatever. I feel like a spontaneous one like that would be much more effective, especially if it's, you know, sent to you around like 11:30. And it's getting to lunchtime. You're trying to figure out what you're doing for lunch. And they send you a $2 off a burger at Burgers coupon. You know, heck, I'd pay $5 for a burger.
Yeah, especially if you're getting a coupon and it's localized too. And it's
exactly.
It's convenient. The other thing too is Google's applied to the Federal Trade Commission. Federal Communications Commission. So the FCC.
Mm-hmm.
To test out an experimental wireless system. And they're saying that it's a prelude to providing mobile data services on a broader scale. So there's not much about it. There's a couple blog posts that are out there about it as far as the application that they filed on Wednesday. But I think knowing that they have Motorola, that they have
yeah.
a ton of wireless space that they already own, they have the Android device, you know, we're really going to go towards a point. I feel sometime in the future we're going to see mobile phones that are going to be so affordable, or mobile service
yeah.
packaged together with a phone, an Android phone, that it's going to be so affordable, if not free, that's going to be advertiser-based to push revenue, to allow users to use this all over the place.
That would be awesome.
So, you know, earlier this month, Google started providing free Wi-Fi in outdoor areas of Chelsea mm-hmm. in New York. Over by their Manhattan office, and then also the residents of Kansas City.
Yes,
they got the high speed fiber optic cable, and for that, I'm hearing is just unbelievably screaming awesome.
I read an article about that the other day, and it was saying that the reason Kansas City was chosen over any other location is because, unlike almost every other city in America, Kansas City owns all of the communication lines, like themselves. It's all run, like you get your internet service and stuff all through Kansas City. Itself.
Oh, it's not
so
a third-party provider.
No. So the infrastructure was already there. Whereas if Google wanted to, let's say, release this through the whole U.S., they would have to deal with people like DTE, consumers,
right.
And all those other companies who aren't going to give up their monopoly. You know? So Google's providing this in Kansas City because they can. And I would really love to download an iTunes song in half a second.
Yeah.
You know?
Commercial internet service from Google would probably be pretty hot.
Yeah. And I feel like they could... Because of the volume of customers they could get, they could charge pretty little.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what Google does. Provides great stuff for little or free.
Let's finish up today's podcast talking about some new analytics components that Google has outlined. They've revamped. They've got some new widgets, sidebars, layouts, recent history, and improved search. Let's see. new widgets and layout options. So you can now add maps, devices, bar, chat, chart widgets.
That's awesome.
You can customize the layout of your dashboards, and there's advanced segment support as well. And what's really cool about it is you can share and export custom dashboards, so you don't have to make the same changes twice for yourself or multiple people. So if you want to share those with a client or a customer, you want to set it up that way, you can automatically share those out. So those templates essentially can be across accounts, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Also, they've enabled shortcuts for real-time reports. So, for example, if you're watching traffic for a specific reason, you're doing a campaign and it's in day parting and you're looking what's happening on the West Coast and you're on the East Coast, you can go ahead and set that up as a shortcut.
That's and, so cool.
Their sidebar has also been tweaked so that it has features with quick access to all important shortcuts as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see that live inside of there right now. And search functionality is a ton better as well. You can access all reports, shortcuts, dashboards, and it's all in the search. So you can also navigate to recently used reports. So those are going to be indexed as well.
That's good.
There. And I think one of the last things that's really cool is the date comparison tool to let you select previous year for year over year analysis, and then you could add that to any type of Excel report, also Google Docs,
gotcha,
as far as an export. So I think it's a pretty huge update.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool tools that are in there, and again, you've got to be in there to really utilize it in a huge way. But that's pretty cool. The other thing too is Google updates for YouTube. So you can basically for capturing an iOS, and they've got 1080p now as far as uploads.
Oh,
so you can upload.
I didn't realize
1080p.
It was up to 1080p.
Yeah, that's pretty
awesome.
Huge. Pretty huge. So a lot of cool stuff happening. Of course, Google, Facebook.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's also Twitter Vine now. Which
is Twitter Vine?
Twitter Vine is Vine is Twitter's new video sharing application, and it, in the words of Twitter, they.
And Facebook smacked it down, it looks like, too.
They
cut it down.
Did they?
Yeah.
They blocked
Twitter's new Vine app from being able to access Facebook friends list through the service.
It doesn't surprise me because it's Vine's way of getting into the Snapchat and poke game. It's 6 minute or 6 second clips or less. That you just, you take a video with your phone, 6 seconds, and you upload it to Twitter. So it's basically like a tweet in video form. And I think it's pretty interesting. I think it's a lot cooler than Snapchat or Poke, personally. But, yeah, I can see why Facebook wouldn't want that to have access to them, because then it makes Poke completely useless. But I think I personally think it's really cool. I haven't used it yet. I've checked it out, though, and I've looked at a couple of the different things they have on their, on their site.
They're kind of GIF-like.
Yeah, they're basically like GIFs, except...
They're a little choppy.
Yeah. But it's pretty adorable.
But by default, they're looping.
Yes.
As well.
Exactly. And there's, the one they have on the Twitter blog is, two little kids holding hands in a park. And it's just super adorable. So, stuff like that. I think it's very cool. And I think it's just another feature that Twitter has that is different from everybody else.
That's pretty cool. So, next week and ongoing now for the rest of the year, we're going to be featuring a number of really cool industry experts and celebrities as well that we're going to have on the podcast show. So, get ready for that starting next week.
Thank you for listening to Trademark Productions' weekly podcast radio show. Remember to submit your questions online at tmprod.com and subscribe to our newsletter and on iTunes. No copying of this can be reproduced without permission. Terms apply. Copyright TM Productions 2011. All rights reserved.